I am Bill Carnes. This is my co-host Dave Champion, and we're back for another episode of
Totally Unprepared.
We're here this week to talk about some interesting stuff, a couple of timely things, and then a couple of things that are on our chest.
Yes.
As well as a very interesting viewer email. But Dave, first, you had something you wanted to bring up.
Why did you want to share with the audience?
Thank you.
Do not miss, if you're watching this show on KPVM, the station you're watching this on, do not miss my show coming up this coming Tuesday at 6 p.m. I think it's going to be really exciting because one of the things that's huge in the news right now is ISIS, and I'm going to be doing an entire hour from moment one to the end of the show taking apart, dissecting, and covering ISIS. So do not miss that show this Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. Thanks, Bill.
March 2nd. Tuesday March 2nd. Night, March 2nd, 2015.
Okay, good.
Good. All right. Speaking of ISIS...
Yes.
And the...
The terror threat.
We currently have the United States Senate. The House already passed a Department of Homeland Security funding bill. It's in the Senate. They're renegotiating it and selling out. With the guise of trying to unfund Obama's mandate on immigration...
Sure.
So in an effort to not lose their funding, Jay Johnson, or it's J-E-H, right?
Jay Johnson.
He went before...
By the way, he is the director of Department of Homeland Security,
for those
who are not familiar.
Yes, he is. He went before the Senate to testify in front of their committee, and dropped a little bit of information with what would appear to be some unbelievable ulterior motives. Tell us a little bit about the details.
All right, so Jay is sitting there giving his testimony, and he hints around that there have been threats against malls, and I think he actually threw out the name Mall of the America, Mall of America, which is what, Missouri?
Minnesota.
Minnesota, thank you. And it's funny because... news reporters have contacts within various federal agencies, and so the news reporters that knew the guys in DHS that handle the intel went to them and said, hey, your boss, the director of DHS, just hinted that there was a terrorist threat, a future activity against the Mall of America. And the guys that were handling the intel were beside themselves. They were like, no, no, there's no credible threat against the Mall of America or any mall. So that was absolute nonsense, which, go ahead.
So why would Jay do that? Absolutely. Because he's testifying in front of the very group that wants to cut his funding.
Right, right.
And so he drops a little hint out there, well, the Mall of America might be the center of a terrorist attack. But he also said, I'm not saying to avoid the mall. I'm not saying to drop your heightened sense of, awareness and... No, what you are saying is, I'm going to lay out there that if it weren't for us, a lot of people at Mall of America or somewhere else might die unless you give us money.
Right.
Buy me off.
You know, and I hate to say this, this is a peaceful version of what the Waco incident was. That was for ATF, a fundraising exercise.
Sure.
That went hellaciously wrong, and I actually know many of the players in that government and, oddly, in the Branch Davidian, so I know a lot of the backstory on that, and the whole thing was cooked up by a special agent of the ATF, Nathaniel Medrano, who since capped himself when he found out he was going to get prosecuted by Janet Napolitano for withholding all of the evidence that there was nothing going on at that compound, because they wanted to use it as a fundraising exercise. So this what we're seeing.
Janet Napolitano, who violated countless amounts of federal laws in the process of approving their thug tactics to go in there as well, just as guilty.
Right, right. So Jay Johnson, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, they really wanted to put a violent face on it, but he's putting the fear factor on it. Okay. Look, if I scare you, will you give me more money? If I scare your constituents, will you give me more money? That's what it boils down to. Now, that's not the worst of it. The Mall of America, because they were specifically named, they then apparently felt that it was that their PR guys felt
they needed to do some PR.
We need to smooth this over, right? So they released a video. I mean, talk about doing like the absolute opposite of what you should do, right? This is supposed to show their security people getting their training, okay?
By the local police.
Was it? By the...
Yeah, they had a police dog there. It was interesting. The police dog was a Labrador Retriever, right? It's normally like a Malinois or a German Shepherd or something.
Yeah.
Not a lab. A lab is usually going to sniff out for drugs.
Right, exactly.
Or bodies.
Yeah.
Not to be this intimidation factor.
Well, in the video I watched, there was nobody in police garb. Everybody was in civilian clothes, and they had the martial arts pads and the practice pads. And there was the one that was featured as there's a probably a late 20-year-old female, and she's palm striking the pad, and she's...
See, and that looked to me, that picture looked to me like she's saying, stop! No, Kim Kardashian's butt isn't fake. It really was done at the gym. I mean, that was what I saw. What is this?
Oh, it was nuts. And it's like, we're all familiar with what happened in Mumbai, right? The various groups of bad guys with AK-47s and other tools of death and destruction, right? Running around, blowing things up and shooting people at multiple locations mm-hmm. around Mumbai. Now, imagine something like that happens at the Mall of America. And here's this 20-something-year-old female security guard. Ha! Ha!
Laying a palm strike
on the bag, yeah. Right? I mean, it's like, really? Can you show us how much more unprepared you are than a terrorist attack is going to be stopped by a couple of 20-something-year-old kids that know how to palm strike a pad? It's like...
It starts somewhere.
If people were not afraid to go to that mall, they should be now.
So, Jay Johnson, dropped this bomb. Total BS. I have held for years, Dave, that if anybody in government at any level, be it from the person that delivers your mail up to the President of the United States and everywhere in between, if they are ever tried and convicted of having purposefully lied, misled, or otherwise withheld truth or given partial truth, anything along that lines, to the constituents or anyone else mm-hmm. at any time, that they should be convicted of a felony for okay. the abuse of power.
So you're talking about a law that doesn't currently exist.
A law that doesn't currently exist.
All right.
You would be removed from your position. And this is not just elected officials. Whether you're an employee... an ambassador, an elected official, if you're a contractor, whatever, in that
appointee.
A czar, any of these people in this sort of position, that you would automatically get a felony conviction, upon conviction, you'd be for a felony, you would never, ever, ever be allowed to collect another dime from any government agency whatsoever, be it the cutting the grass of the local football field at the high school, up to being elected to Congress or president, you couldn't serve at all.
Right.
And you'd lose any and all benefits you had accrued up to that point. And for my sake, you'd also lose any Social Security that you may have earned. Absolutely, completely done. And whatever your conviction would be, you automatically get triple the sentence.
Oh, like RICO.
Like RICO.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You come in, Jay Johnson, you did this, that, and the other. You scared a bunch of people, blah, blah, blah. We're going to give you 2 years behind bars. It's automatically six. 2 years and $500,000 fine. That's going to be 6 years and $1.5 million. Absolutely no parole, absolutely no probation. Nothing about that at all. He's gone, and he can't even clean the local city swimming pool.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because you've heard me talk about the fact that I'm working on something called Constitution for League of States.
Yes.
That is meant to replace our current Constitution when the current federal structure fails. Time and experience has taught us that our existing Constitution was, how can I phrase this, too easy to misrepresent, circumvent.
Oh, yeah, okay. Loophole. Right. Absolutely loophole.
And one of the big loopholes that I see is that there was nothing in the category that I've dubbed in the new Constitution a constitutional crime. Okay? There are statutory crimes, but there's no constitutional crime. And the way I define constitutional crime for Constitution for the League of States is that you have violated one of two things. A provision of any constitution that controls your actions. So, for instance, you're a government employee in the state of Illinois, okay? And your state constitution and the federal constitution control a particular aspect of your job, and you blow through those. Now you're facing a state crime, a perhaps a felony, perhaps a misdemeanor, depends on the provision. And the same thing at the federal level, so you'd be tried twice, okay? And the other one would be if a jury felt that you knowingly violated the rights of a citizen or violated them having reason to know that you were violating their rights. If a jury convicts you of either one of those, you're gone. The same penalty structure. I actually have it in the Constitution for League of States, a tiered penalty structure. But yes, the same thing, because that's an area of law that we don't address in this country.
Now, and it's unfortunate, you know, when it comes to the oath of office, it does not have in there, but it certainly should, to uphold, protect, defend, and obey
right.
the Constitution. It does. It just adding "and obey,"
yep.
in my opinion, then helps provide for that sort of legal structure. You know, you have Obama that started this whole thing with Jay Johnson by going through and providing all of this cross-the-board amnesty, this unilateral amnesty through executive action for up to 5 million illegals here in America. And he said no less than 20 times over the last 6 years that he did not have the authority to do that.
Right.
That Congress needed to do something. If he could do it, he would. He didn't have the authority, blah, da, da. Then he goes and does it. Talk about violating and obey the Constitution.
Yep.
There's obviously not enough intestinal fortitude in the House to bring charges against Obama, nor is there enough intestinal fortitude in the Senate to try him.
I mean,
we've had a number of presidents violate the Constitution and break laws over the years.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that we have in our lifetime certainly had anybody that's been so egregious and so forward about doing it and seems to be so proud of it.
Yeah, so forward. That's a great way to characterize that. That I think a lot of presidents have tried to figure out how they could sneak around in the shadows and do that, you know, eat around the edges, so to speak.
Yeah, this guy's in the limelight doing it.
Yes, this guy has said, I want to do it. The people are behind me, so I'm going to do it. And he's basically thumbing his nose at the people and at Congress.
And unfortunately, with a lot of support from stupid Americans.
Yep. And we'll be back right after these words. All right, we are back, and it is now time for well, Alaska has now become the third state to legalize what is euphemistically referred to as recreational marijuana. That's behind Colorado State and Washington State, which have done the same things. Now, let's for a moment talk about what recreational means, because I think some of these titles are a bit inane. We've had marijuana, which for essentially no good reason other than political propaganda and king-making and creating power bases, has been illegal for probably pushing 100 years now, almost. Then we have what more recently was dubbed medical marijuana. So you've got just this complete illegality of some nature. Then you have medical marijuana. Of course, we all know what that means. That means that the state suddenly says, well, it's illegal unless you claim to have any one of these 279 different things, and then your doctor can write you a prescription and you can smoke some grass. It's ridiculous. And all recreational means is that none of the government isn't deciding for you why you should smoke pot or whether you should smoke pot. It's just saying, if you would like to smoke pot, all right. It's sort of what it is the absence of the government being overbearing and pretentious, and so they call that recreational marijuana. Now, on this show last week, I commented, you know, I haven't smoked pot in 35 years, so this is, and it's not my cup of tea. So there's no personal axe to grind here, except for liberty. And the very idea that I can be sitting in a restaurant with some friends in Las Vegas, and I can be sipping on a cocktail and chit-chatting with them, and they're having a beer or something. Yeah, we're catching up, haven't seen each other for a while. Now, imagine this. This would never happen in a restaurant, but imagine this. Somebody whips out his bong, and he stuffs some pot in the bowl, and he lights that sucker up, and he takes a bong hit, and the conversation continues. This guy's drinking a beer. This guy's drinking water. I'm having a Long Island iced tea, my drink of choice, and he takes a bong hit. It strikes me as utterly absurd that I can drink an entire Long Island iced tea made of four kinds of alcohol. In some cases, some people make it with five kinds of alcohol. And a police officer cannot do anything to me. But because the guy sitting next to me lit up a bowl in his bong and took a single hit out of a bong, he can then be arrested by the cop. It's insane. Now, adding to the insanity, a report was recently issued just within the last couple of days, medical research report, and I thought it took a very unique view. Usually when they take a look at drugs or different manner of illicit substances, what they do is they determine how bad it is for you. Well, in this case, they decided to take a different approach. They decided to give points when a particular substance did not affect various areas of your health. For instance, looking at brain function, looking at your liver, looking at your kidneys, looking at lung function, and so forth. So for every area of medicine where a substance has not been in one way or another responsible for causing harm, again, not responsible, that substance got points. You understand how they did this? Now, I didn't bring the graphic in with me, but they had things like heroin and codeine, all these different things on the... And it was very, very interesting because all of these substances, it was a graph chart. And all of them had these little tiny entries on the graph chart. Remember, you get more points for not adversely affecting your health. And then the one for marijuana was like forever long. And I thought it really painted an interesting picture because it showed that in comparison, oh, by the way, alcohol was on the list, right? And the safety factor or the how it does not adversely affect your health, it was like 15 times as long for marijuana as it was for alcohol. Okay? And so here we are now. We've got the three states with recreation. We've got a lot more that have the medical marijuana thing. But let's be honest about what the medical marijuana issue is. This is a way for the states to get into the game, to start generating revenue without actually saying it's okay to smoke pot. It's a BS half-step measure. We don't have the testicles to say, yeah, okay, go ahead and smoke pot if you want. What the hell? It's a free country. Since they don't have the gonads to do that, they think they'll get voted out of office. Instead, what they say is, well, we're still going to put you in jail unless you have a doctor's prescription. And all you have to do is go into the doctor and say some magic words and you get a prescription. Bill Carnes, when the hell are we going to get over this?
Far out, dude.
You're already over it.
No, just far out. It's funny you talk about the doctors. If you go to Las Vegas, there's billboards all over that says, call Dr. Reefer, and has a phone number.
Really?
Dr. Reefer. Yeah.
Because we're one of the medical marijuana states.
We are.
Right.
However, we've been a medical marijuana state since, I think, 2002, but we just got approved for actually having dispensaries. Up to that point, you had to grow it yourself. And all the provisions on how much you could have and all that other garbage. So very interesting. You know, it's interesting about the whole thing with the alcohol versus marijuana.
Yes.
Because of the alcohol's not so bad, and I believe in my estimation because there's a pretty reasonable federal tax on it. So
yes.
That's why it's not so bad because... You know, if they were prohibition, something along that line again, right. That the federal tax money would go away.
And the research was on routine use.
Okay, sure.
So if you're having four or five cocktails a night.
And they say, you know, a glass of red wine actually has good benefits for you. Imagine if they came out and they said, you know what, smoking a bowl actually has good benefits. One bowl a night, really good for you. Just before dinner so you have the munchies to eat everything on your plate.
Well, here's some interesting information along those lines. I have read repeatedly that research shows that approximately 1 ounce of alcohol, doesn't matter what kind of alcohol, this is just alcohol not mixed with other stuff, 1 ounce a day is actually beneficial for your health. I've also read, this was research narrowly tailored to lung function, and here was the interesting thing they said. Smoking one half of a marijuana cigarette, which is what they call it in research, right? Smoking one half actually produced beneficial aspects for the lungs. Smoking an entire joint actually created some detrimental aspects. So it was kind of like what we always say, right? Everything in moderation. It appears as far as lung function is concerned that moderation is up to what the average person would consider half a joint. And more than that actually starts to create an adverse effect on the lungs.
So you want to race up to the top of the mountain, but once you get to the peak, find the magic spot to stay there so you don't tumble down
there
the other side.
There you go.
You know, here's something that's interesting. I researched months ago on the federal drugs. They have the schedule system. Schedule 1, Schedule 2, Schedule 3, Schedule 4 narcotics.
This is crazy what you're about to say. Yeah, I read it myself.
You look at things like cocaine and heroin, things such as that. Now,
meth,
yeah. And those things are actually Schedule 2.
Right, right.
Now, to be a Schedule 1, there has to be absolutely no known medical benefits whatsoever.
Right.
And highly addictive. Both of those criteria. Marijuana is a Schedule 1 narcotic, according to the FDA, to the federal government.
It's insane.
But cocaine is not. As a matter of fact,
which we know is like 1,000 times more addictive. First of all, pot is not addictive. So it can be emotionally addictive, but it's not physically addictive.
And they're talking about a physical addiction.
Right.
And it's interesting. Cocaine is actually still used to a very minimal extent in the medical industry.
Yeah. Oral surgery.
Yeah. I actually know a PhD level pharmacist. PharmD is actually his name, PharmD. And he, on an occasion, actually had to order in cocaine in order to be used for a nasal issue that he needed to fill.
Right.
And he puts the thing into the computer, gets a call
from the DEA.
From DEA the next day. Why are you ordering? Well, because this, that, and the other. This is what the doctor prescribed. This is what's going to be used for. Okay, no sweat. Next day there was. And I actually saw a program where there's something like 19 people or something in America that at one point in time were prescribed cocaine, and now you can't get it like this anymore, but these people are still grandfathered in. They actually get U.S. government grade A medical pharmaceutical grade cocaine shipped to them for their condition.
Wow.
Okay. No marijuana at all, because marijuana is allegedly highly addictive and there's no known medical benefits whatsoever, according to the federal government. It's ridiculous.
A federal judge is threatening to take it off the schedule. She's attempting to declare, she has said in her comments during the oral arguments that she is considering stating that having marijuana as a Schedule 1 drug is unconstitutional. She is considering the attorney's argument very strongly. It was her statement.
I gotta say, it's just dumb. I have never smoked weed. I don't intend to smoke weed. You know, it's kind of funny. A few people tell me, you know, you act like somebody who smokes weed, I guess. I don't know if it's my eating habits or what. Maybe, you know, outside of this, like my odd sense of humor, I don't know. And I've even had tell me people before, dude, chill out, smoke a bowl. And I'm like, I don't smoke.
Right.
I'll have a couple of shots, you know, maybe grab some decent tequila. Who knows? Whatever. It's kind of funny. But anyhow, just I think that the whole marijuana issue is ridiculous. Now, years ago, my father, pretty wise guy. He actually
said, Chicago wise guy?
Or? No, wise. He actually said, you know, we should just do away with all the drug laws and we should regulate it more like alcohol and then decriminalize it because crime shot up during prohibition and then we get rid of it and there's still a little bit of crime involved with it, but not like it was. And he actually gave some, and I was like, what? Are you serious? Are you kidding me? And I find myself now having that same argument with other people and trying to convince them the same thing. Well, you think meth should be legal? Look, I think meth should be legal like bathtub gin should be legal. Okay? You're going to be a Jake leg about it.
Right.
So, no, I don't think that everybody should be brewing their own meth and everything such as that. But I mean, let's decriminalize it, maybe put a little bit of tax money on there and do something reasonable with it at the local level, not the federal level, because they're idiots.
We took two messages away from real prohibition, right? One was that it was useless and harmed society, and it was the impetus for the rise of organized crime.
Sure. Okay?
And the second thing we learned was that it really, really grants the government some insane powers. So it's not surprising to me that we would find that the government, again, after prohibition was repealed constitutionally, they would want to have another way to surreptitiously gain that same power.
It's the war on pot.
And we'll be back right after these words.
Welcome back from the break. Now, it's time for... You know what really grinds my gears? Whipped cream and tails on my shrimp. I gotta tell you, if I am ordering food from a restaurant, I do not want whipped cream in my drink, and if I order anything with shrimp, don't leave the tail on it. I don't want to have to play with my food. First of all, I'm not a big fan of whipped cream. Maybe a little bit on some apple pie. I'd rather have an a la mode, some vanilla ice cream on there. Maybe even make it an international pie. American apple pie with French vanilla on top. That's great. Maybe a little chocolate drizzle or some caramel drizzle on there. Whatever. Keep the whipped cream to yourself. Not a fan. It's nothing but fluffy, disgusting, fat, lard, gross. I don't care for it. I don't want it on my hot chocolate. I don't want it on a coffee, which I really don't drink anyhow. I don't want it on a tea. I don't want it on anything. Don't just automatically put it in something that I drink. I don't like that. And the other thing is, any time that shrimp comes to my plate, I don't want to have to play with it. I once ordered a seafood bouillabaisse, not knowing exactly what it was. Long time ago. I was 22, 23 years old. Go to this restaurant with my father. We sit down. I'm like, oh, look at that. It's got scallops and shrimp and clam and mussels and all this great stuff in a soup. Awesome. Order that up. It comes to me. All of the shells are there. All of the tails are on the shrimp. And now I've got to sit there in a suit and a tie playing with my lunch. I felt like I was about 4 years old making a mud pie. Don't deliver that to a human being with silverware. Just deliver the bowl, maybe with a napkin, forget about the silverware and say, have at it, caveman, chomp away. You know, when I order chicken, I don't want the whole chicken. I want the pieces nicely prepared. I don't want you to come out and deliver me a chicken and then I got to cut the head off of it, which, by the way, happened at a New York City restaurant in Chinatown in Manhattan once upon a time when a group of us ordered this big old thing and the duck came. Dave, they deep fried the entire duck and brought it out. Deep fried duck. There's the head. But I got to tell you, man, if I order shrimp scampi or linguine or anything like that, I don't want the tail on it because now I've got to touch my food and play with it. I don't want to play with it. I want to eat it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like linguine and clams, right?
Take the clam out of the shell.
Right. You've got to stop as you're eating and pull the meat of the, out of every single clam. Well, most restaurants don't give you many clams.
Look, I understand that there's foods that are finger foods, but those are not foods that are also delivered to your table with fork, knife, spoon, and like that. If linguine and shrimp were supposed to be meant to play with your hand, you just grab it and stuff it in your hole, right? I mean, come on.
The only one that I do approve of, because it's sort of like the way it is escargot coming in the shell.
Okay, I can see that.
It's almost like a serving dish.
You can grab the shell, which is normally not in some sort of a slop or a sauce, and it's individual, right?
Right.
And the one exception to shrimp...
They give you a little tiny fork to get in there.
Sure. Yeah. And the one exception to shrimp is if you order a shrimp cocktail and it comes with those large jumbo shrimp that are over the edge of the bowl.
Yeah.
And then you've got the cocktail sauce in the center.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now it's like
I can do that. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if it comes like the little mini shrimp, the brine shrimp.
Oh, forget that.
Dunked in the thing. Wait a minute. Hold on. Now I've got to do this little thing. I mean, come on.
I know.
Do you want me to go back there and prepare the whole thing myself? You want me to go back there, you know, take the legs off and devein all that crap myself? I am not here to do that. I'm not. I don't want to cook my own steak either. I could have stayed home and done that. Don't make me play with my food.
Years ago, I was in Palm Springs with a gal I was seeing at the time. We went to a very, very upscale sushi bar. And I love sushi, but I'm not so much on like the Asian fish scene, okay? Which goes well beyond sushi.
Yes,
okay?
It does.
And so the waiter, I think he was trying to pad the bill. We'd had a few drinks. He said, oh, let me bring you this thing. It is wonderful. You know, okay, great.
That sounded like an Arabic sushi bar.
So,
oh, me bring you no stuff. Okay, try that one.
He brings me out a dead fish. A cooked dead fish on a plate.
With the head still on it.
Head, tail, a dead fish on the plate. And then he tells me this part right here on the face. This is a delicacy.
The fish cheek.
I'm like, what? Where is my tuna sushi?
Look, I'm a catch and release, send it back. You and I just had lunch before the show at a restaurant.
Right.
That has a dead fish on the menu if you get it. You can order the red snapper, and it comes the entire fish, head and scale still on the thing.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And it's been gutted. You've got to lift that up and then sort through the bones to get to the meat.
Oh, hell no.
I made the mistake of ordering that about 5 or 6 years ago. And I got to tell you, it tasted good. However, you had to get through the visual, unappetizing sort of a scenario.
Yeah.
And then on top of that.
Unappetizing.
It was just blech. And then it's like, you know, when you open a fish like that, it makes sounds that are also. Unappetizing,
yeah.
I did not enjoy it. I know not to order that, and I want to let you be aware of that because I know you eat at that restaurant regularly.
Yes.
So that's tasty, good, but visually.
And the stuff with the bone, the fish with the bones in it, I mean, forget that. Because I don't care how carefully you dissect every bite, it's almost like, and especially some of those fish bones, if we can all call them, they're almost like thick hairs.
Yes.
So you end up eating your fish, and then you're like,
yeah, you know, you got to play with it in your mouth like you're trying to do that thing where you're trying to tie the stem of a cherry in your mouth through there with, oh my God. That's if you order fish. That's fine. Like, I love salmon.
Can you imagine that on a date? Excuse me, honey.
Yeah.
That's later.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get that off of you. Yeah, I don't like having to play with my food. And, you know, a lot of people are fans of whipped cream, not necessarily on their food. Some people like to take that can into the bedroom and leave it there.
Whatever works.
Whatever floats your boat. That's great. But, like, I went to Starbucks. I don't drink coffee because I don't like the taste.
It is ultimately
bitter.
I don't.
And I just don't like it.
And haven't people convinced you, like, if you have it this way, you'll like it?
Yeah. No, I don't.
What do I always taste no matter how it's prepared?
Coffee.
Yes.
That's right. And I can't understand how people get like coffee flavored ice cream or they make those hard candies that are coffee flavored.
Oh.
It's like, why don't you make one that's ass flavored? Because that's gross. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And it's funny, I don't like bitter stuff that much. I don't even really like bitters when it's added into a cocktail, unless it's maybe flavored and it's enhancing it. But like, you might remember years ago, they had Keystone beer. Come in a specially lined can so you don't get bitter beer face, right? And they have these guys with these horrible bitter beer faces, all animated. Now if you buy an IPA, hugely filled with hops, all kinds of hops in there, which is bitter than hell.
Right.
So now people actually market this incredibly bitter beer.
Which, not my thing.
No, not my thing at all. As a matter of fact, I had a beer with a couple of friends Saturday, we're all together at a buddy's shop getting a bunch of stuff out, not helping him knock out some projects. And one of the guys went out and he got some beer, and it wasn't an IPA, but it was rather hoppy and bitter. I had one. It was all right, but just not my thing. I'll eat just about anything.
What is your favorite beer, by the way? If you have a favorite.
I don't know if I can call a favorite beer, but I can call a couple of favorite breweries.
Oh.
I like seasonal beers and I like microbrews. I'm not big into the macro brews, but Shock Top makes some very good beers.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I just got lucky just yesterday. I happened to be at the supermarket, and occasionally I'll go back to the area where they have things on sale. They happen to have a pumpkin wheat on sale because it's out of season by Shock Top. I happen to like those pumpkin beers. They go really well with a couple of meals. They're very good with a couple of different meals. So I bought that 12-pack. It was a 12-pack of these bottles for like $8.
Huh.
Normally that much for six. So I like Shock Top, and also the, I think it's the Leinenkugel, I think is how you pronounce it. And they make many different specialty craft beers, smaller brewery. I really like a lot of the stuff that they put out. For that matter, I like all of the seasonal stuff that Sam Adams puts out, but I don't care for Sam Adams Boston Lager. I'm not a fan of that really dark, oaky flavor, but I am a fan of cooking with that stuff, especially things like brats. Bratwurst.
Yeah.
Cook that stuff. Like, I'll go get sometimes the seasonal pack, and I'll have, like, maybe four of the Sam Adams, and then four of the winter lager, and four of this, and four of that, whatever. I'll save those Sam Adams out, and I will cook with those. A very, very good beer
now,
for cooking.
You're aware I'm not a beer drinker.
I am aware.
However.
That's very unfortunate.
Every once in a blue moon.
Blue Moon's another good beer.
Coors product. I get a hankering for a beer. And the one that goes down well for me, I always enjoy it. I can kill a bottle like that. When I'm in the mood. No. it's a Negro Modelo.
Oh, Negro Modelo's excellent beer.
Yeah.
Very good.
I always keep just a couple of them in the refrigerator. I probably burn through three a year.
And they have the Modelo Especial, it's a little bit, higher end tweaked beer that they have. You can find those oftentimes at your favorite Mexican restaurant. Getting back to the whole food thing,
I think you were on whipped cream.
I was. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, it's funny. I was out this last Sunday with my girlfriend. We went to Las Vegas and we were shopping. We ended up at this outdoor mall. It's downtown. It's near like Interstate 15 in Charleston. I think it's like the outlet mall of Las Vegas North or something.
Okay.
It's downtown. Very popular.
Sunday, where you walk around, it's like almost the size of a small city.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there.
It's outdoors. It's popular. But I can tell you, Sunday's weather was kind of crappy. It was a little bit drizzly. It was very cold, a little bit breezy. And it was packed. We had to go to the second parking garage and park on the third level. That was the first parking space we found. And there was quite a few Chinese that were there. It was Chinese New Year. A lot of people in Vegas hanging out, doing their thing. But for business, it was great. So anyhow, we go there, and I am really, really dragging tail. So I just say out loud, and I say outlandish stuff that I don't mean regularly.
No.
And, it's me. And I said to my girlfriend, I need to do something. I need a Red Bull or a shot of coffee or something out of Starbucks or a line of blow. Or I need something, right? And people are like, what? So there just happened to be a Starbucks.
Oh, I thought you were saying it just happened to be a guy with some blow.
No. So I went down there and I ordered a hot chocolate, and I asked him to put one shot in there, right? And it was bitters all get out. I did remember no whipped cream. Bitters all get out. And I drank it merely so I didn't have to go through the Red Bull sugary high garbage I hate.
If you put the shot in and you had the whipped cream, which tends to be sweet, that might have mitigated that.
Maybe. Yeah. I'll never know. I will never know. Yeah, so I'm not a fan of...
Except perhaps in the bedroom.
Still, even there, I got to tell you, food doesn't belong in the bedroom as far as I'm concerned.
It's sticky. Whipped cream on the body. I've heard.
How about a fruit cocktail out of a Del Monte can? I think my two cents, the kitchen and the bedroom and the bedroom and the kitchen need to remain separate.
You've never seen 9.5 weeks, obviously.
I have. Not a fan.
No, neither was I. When I saw that, I was like, what's the big deal?
Yeah, I don't get it.
All right, stay with us.
Yeah, what he said. Welcome back to the show. Now we're going to get into the viewer emails, which you can always email us, billanddaveshow@gmail.com, right here across the bottom of the screen. And we're going to talk. We had one of our viewers send in a question, Dave, that asked us about, do we believe that Americans today are essentially as raked in as Romans were of yesteryear based on the Colosseum and all of the antics in the Colosseum and all of the great things everybody's supposed to be distracted by while their government was doing something else, the Colosseum of today basically being television and
professional sports,
all kinds of things. Has television really taken the eye off of the ball, and has it dumbed everyone down so much where they're not paying attention to what the government's doing around them? And are they literally dumbed down to the point where even if they knew, they no longer have the attention span to really get into it and get it figured out? or even understand what's really going on.
You know, Bill, I wish I could go back and be a fly on the wall when the very first manipulator, for lack of a more specific term, in the employ of the United States government first sat down and watched people react to television. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall when he turned around to his peers and went,
ding!
Yeah!
Eureka!
Yeah, right, exactly. And, you know, there's an adage that is used oftentimes tongue-in-cheek to poke fun at people, but it's very true. And it's, if you saw it on TV, you know it's the truth. And one of the things that irks the hell out of me, especially in light of the Dave Champion Show and the things I cover there, one night I was at the gym. And you know I don't watch like nightly
gym
news.
Who?
Yeah. Easy Tiger.
Oh, you mean...
Yes, lifting gas.
I've heard of those places before.
And one night, oddly, they had the evening news on. Normally they have some sports thing on. So they had the evening news and the volume was on. Both things unheard of there, right? So between my sets, I'm looking at this television. I'm listening to what the guy said. I haven't watched the nightly news in, I don't know, I'm going to guess 20 years. I was like, oh, my God. First of all, people watch this crap? It was unbelievable. I was like, who would watch this? This is worthless. Secondly, I'm thinking, and that sphincter up there is probably making about $8 million a year to sit up there and do something which was utterly worthless. If you want to get the most superficial glossing over of events and sometimes blatant out and out falsehood, lies, watch the American evening news. That's where I begin right there when we talk about television and influence on the population.
And you know, you've got a bunch of women that have come on to some of the bigger networks, CNN, Headline News, part of CNN, Fox News, even Bloomberg. And these are basically bikini models or even Pilates instructors of women. I mean, gorgeous women yep. that are up there and they're reading the news. A lot of them very bright.
And Fox pioneered this.
They did. And a lot of them very bright. There's a show they have called Outnumbered, which is 9 o'clock, I think, on the West Coast. And there's four or five women, and they always bring a guy in there, and it's a different topic each day. And they're bright.
How do I get on their show? No kidding.
Call Fox News. But anyhow, I believe that our listener, I'm sorry, our viewer who sent in this email absolutely has it on the nose. When you were talking about the whole thing with, you know, the first government guy that's watching people watch TV, watching them watch TV. It sent me back to William Casey, director of the CIA under Ronald Reagan, who in 1981, after getting appointed and being approved by the U.S. Senate, went in his very first staff meeting and he told everybody, "We will know that our disinformation campaign is complete when everything that the American public believes is false."
Yeah.
That was 1981.
Right.
Okay, that's 34 years ago. That's more than a third of a century. Do you really think that what we're getting is true? I mean, when under George H.W. Bush, Bush 1 back in the late 80s and early 90s, when this guy, a member of the globalist party, by no means was this guy conservative, globalist party, he and his family and everybody that they represent and handle, and Bush Jr. and Jeb Bush, all globalists. They really don't care about this country. They care about money and power, and they're just attached to the Republican Party like a lot of these other jackals. My two cents being in politics. But when he helped to push through and sign into law the bill that took off the restrictions on how many news outlets you could own.
Right.
You know, now we've got five. When it used to be a lot more independent. Why is that? Well, now you've got all these big people, big donors, big business, all tied in with the government, and it's virtually state-run to a point.
Yeah. There was I forget the gentleman's name now. Gentleman's probably not the right appellation. 1997 or 98, he made a statement that other nations of the world, he didn't name which ones, were attempting to develop methods where they could alter the weather and use that as a weapon. Okay. Now, I just recently read this quote, which of course is, you know, 20 some odd years ago. Now, think cyber warfare. Okay. who is the number one perpetrator of cyber warfare in the world?
Oh, the United States.
The United States government.
Doubt.
Whenever you open the United States press and you read, I don't watch much television. When you read, okay, who is always pointing the finger of blame?
They are.
The United States government.
Of course.
Is pointing the finger. But it is the number one perpetrator of cyber warfare.
The number one arms dealer, the number one perpetrator of cyber warfare.
Right.
The number one country for sending armed troops into other regions of the world to kick everybody's ass, to make things better for the people that live there, whether they want it or not, whether they ask for it or not. Hey, if we think nation building is going to be good for you.
It's going to help you when we kill 150,000 of you.
Yeah, it's now ridiculous.
But my point is with this assistant Secretary of Defense's statement, we're seeing all sorts of interesting weather patterns, yes?
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of talk about, you know, climate change. Now, my thing is, if in 1997 or 98, the United States government, by the way, his final sentence was, we have to get in the game, essentially what he was saying. If they're pointing the finger at everybody else, we know which government was the number one, or was and is the number one government achieving that.
I forget what it's called, but there's a few different locations in this country that are government-controlled bases. And they have some sort of like radio wave of some kind. I forget what they're called.
Are you talking about the HARP phenomenon?
HARP, yes, HARP. Thank you very much. And I've seen a couple programs on this in months and even a couple of years past. And there was an interesting thing about a HARP region in, I believe it was in northern New York. It was just a year or two ago that a hurricane had come through, and it was going up there. And all of a sudden, this thing took a hard, unexpected turn. And then up north again.
That was on 9/11.
Is that what it was?
Yes. If you read the book, Where Did the Towers Go? By Dr. Judy Woods, who's probably the most uniquely qualified physicist in the country to evaluate the events of that day. I'm going to cut to the chase, but the book is fascinating. You know, it's a little pricey. It's like $40, but if you can afford it, buy it. It's an amazing read. There will be no question left in your mind.
The name of the book again?
Where Did the Towers Go?
Okay. Yeah.
And, by the way, no physicist on the planet has stated that any of her equations are wrong. But one of the things, the conclusion she comes to at the end, I'm jumping to the end, is that the 9/11 was actually, the dropping of the towers, was actually the result of something called a directed energy weapon. She believes that somebody, she never gets into the who, she's all about the physics, right? Somebody has harnessed the power of weather and perhaps other aspects of our natural world to, it is the generator, if you will, for the power for this directed energy weapon, which, you know, scientists have been messing with directed energy weapons. They've been trying to accomplish it for 40 years. It looks like somebody has accomplished that. And one of the things she points out in the book, she shows the photographs from NOAA, and it shows, and here's the interesting part. She says for like 3 days prior to 9/11, there's a level 5 hurricane heading right towards New York, right? Level 5, the most gnarly hurricane ever, right?
Bad as it gets.
Heading right towards New York City. She said, who has the power to make sure that no news agency in America reports that? Because no news agency in America reported it. And she's got the actual time-stamped satellite photographs in sequence showing that during the 3 days preceding that there was a level 5 hurricane, then something like 2 minutes and 19 seconds after the second tower falls, this hurricane makes a hard right turn and takes off back into the Atlantic. No hurricane in the history of the United States has ever done that.
Yeah, and they have groups that measure the output ratings of whatever sort of radio signal or wave or whatever they put out. That they say went so far that their equipment couldn't measure it. There was so much of it they didn't know that it couldn't be that sort of level of this, you know, microwave or whatever the hell HARP is supposed to be about, could put out that amount of that kind of energy. They couldn't, it was so far off of the charts they couldn't register how much was being used at the same time.
So we still don't know how much because it exceeded the maximum.
We might know now, but I mean, it's been 14 years or so now, but yeah. Yeah. So interesting stuff. So I think when it comes down to when we break this back down to the original question that our viewer sent in, I believe it was Joshua that sent this in. Yeah, absolutely. I believe that the television is the modern Colosseum And, you know, they used to call it the boob tube. There's just no tube in it now. Now it's the boob solid state. But yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, when I watch television, I'm usually watching something on, you know, History Channel or TLC or heck, even Food Network. So I want to, you know, grill up some better, you know, deep fried duck with the head still on it or you know, shrimp with the tail still on there. I want to learn a little bit about that. I try to get something educational or historic, something along that lines. Not usually so much just the modern stupidity. And I'll even go so far, funny enough, I cannot stand reality shows.
Ugh.
And I was on season one of Top Shot, so which was more of a competition show that they made into
right.
reality. So a little bit different, but not tremendously.
And you know, people ask me all the time, you know, oh, did you see that episode of so-and-so sitcom or something?
Yeah,
you know, No. Anytime I think of watching television, there's always something
better to do.
Yes.
Yep.
That comes anytime I think of turning on television, with
yeah.
the exception of the Dave Champion Show and Totally Unprepared, with those two exceptions.
Nice save, my friend.
Yeah. But I mean, at least this show has some entertainment factor. It's got some intellect. When I'm at other people's houses or I'm at a business and they've got a television on, I never see intellect.
See, again, it's like the Dave Champion Show and Totally Unprepared can oftentimes provide you some information.
Yeah. My friends, thank you for joining us. It's been wonderful having you. We'll talk to you again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.